And welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Over the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. We got a whole lot going on the program today. Jared Stillman will be with us at 7 o'clock for his weekly visit. Jeff Fisher will be with us at 7:30. So we'll get into some old Titans tales and the Nashville Cats and their playoff game coming up this weekend in Clarksville with him at 7:30. And Teron Davenport with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit, talking all things Tennessee Titans. And we have an additional week of weekend winners, which we'll get into a little bit later in the program as well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are we doing? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I know people are very interested in my medical updates, so I will just let the people know that I saw my personal care physician yesterday, and she's putting me on allopurinol. So now some people with gout look at allopurinol like it's like, you know, carte blanche. You can do whatever you want now. I just want you to know that I'm going to be more responsible than that.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, some people are like,
oh,
talking
no beer for like a year?
Well, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, like, you know, some people take that stuff. They're like, oh, yeah, you know, all the beer, all the shellfish, all the red meat. I will not do that. I will be, you know, I will live my life in moderation. That's right.
Selective. That's a good way to put
My food still hurts, by the way.
That's not good. Did they give you any sort of idea when that might stop?
I mean, not necessarily, but I'm going to start taking that today on top of the non-steroid anti-inflams that I'm still taking. So, like, it's gotten a little better.
That's good. That's good. Improvement
It'll
is good.
We'll get there.
Ian Safar, how we doing? Yeah. What's going on?
Doing good. Happy Friday to everybody. And happy birthday, sixth birthday to our older daughter, May.
Nice.
Today. She
happy
turned
birthday.
Six.
Nice.
So big weekend planned, kind of hang out today, go to the zoo tomorrow.
Sweet.
With some friends.
Ooh, that's a great birthday.
That'll be fun.
Absolutely. Happy birthday indeed. We'll take your well wishes on the text line. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Joe, we're going to get into the NBA Finals here in just a second. But I do want to start with this. It's been probably a couple year-long plight for this program at this point, and something you've really been trying to get me to do for a long time. And I have to say, yesterday, I did it. I finally just sat down, and I did it. And I sat down and I watched Office Space, Joe. And I'll just give you a kind of a brief synopsis of my thoughts. I have ranked my top three favorite Office Space characters. Lawrence, Peter's neighbor, coming in at number one. When he said the quote, "I believe you'd get your ass kicked for saying something like that," I lost it on the couch. And it was very funny. The fact that he also looks like Travis Tritt in the 90s adds to the hilarity of it. Lawrence coming in at number one as my favorite character. Bob Slidell, number two, the consultant, my second favorite character in there. You know, the what would you say you do here? Really enjoyed that. Frankly, that guy and everything he's in just has a direct path to my funny bone. So that one was no different yesterday. I love that guy. So he's number two. And then Milton coming in at number three. First off, you know, I had known that guy basically from Dodgeball. He's the same dude's in Dodgeball. But when he started just obsessing over the stapler, it was hilarious. And I knew that the ending of the movie, and I'm not going to spoil it for everybody, but the ending of the movie, I could kind of see coming as the movie went along there. So I would put him in number three. Honorable mention, the other Bob, the other consultant in there, for no other reason than at first glance, I thought he was Vern Lundquist. Like, I was like, wow, my God, they got Vern Lundquist in the movie. It's not. But
good
if you go
stash.
Back and look at it, it's pretty close. Like, the other consultant in the movie looks like a younger Vern Lundquist. So he's the honorable mention there. Joe, my official rating here on a scale of 10, you know, Forrest Gump I consider to be the perfect movie.
Okay.
It's a 10. I would give Office Space a 7.1. It's very, very good.
Ooh.
7.1, Joe.
Yeah. Thank you. First of all, yeah, I mean, it's good, right? Like, it's not a perfect movie, but like it's pretty consistent laughs, man. It's like, aren't you glad you've watched it now?
I am.
Like, there's a lot of references that are like available to those who have watched that movie. And I like the ranking. That's good. I'm excited. See, I now need Michelle Knezovic to hear this, you know, and maybe she'll be influenced to watch it. You know, I'm not great. Like, I didn't know that Bob Slidell was his name. By the way, I love Michael Bolton. I celebrate his entire collection.
Yes.
Another great line from him. But and I don't remember this kid's name, but Lundberg farted her. Like, that guy, you know, is a scene stealer too. Let's not leave him out.
Yeah, a lot of really good stuff in the movie. So I appreciate it. I mean, Lawrence just kind of spoke directly to me. So he's coming at number one. It was just hilarious. So when he walked in from the other side, I was like, yeah, I got a feeling I might like this guy. So ended up working out that way. So good stuff on that front. Office Space, I would encourage people to watch it. It took me almost 33 years, but I would encourage people to watch it. I guess it didn't take that long. When did that movie come out? 97, something like that.
99, I think.
There you go.
If you're listening and haven't seen Office Space,
99.
You definitely see Office Space. I think it's one of the best comedies of the last, you know, I mean, I guess 20. I mean, I'd say it's one of, yeah, I mean, it's one of the best comedies of the last 25 years. I guess most of my favorite ones are in the 80s, but. Yeah, watch that. And now we have to come up with the next one, which I would argue would be This is Spinal Tap. The entire world should see the movie This is Spinal Tap. But, you know, we can talk about it.
We'll see if sometime over the next year and a half that I get to This is Spinal Tap. We'll see what happens on that front. I want to thank our listeners. I tweeted out last night that I was watching Office Space, and a lot of response to that. So I appreciate the listeners for checking in and seeing how things were going last night. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Joe, I was telling Ian before the show, if you gave me before the Stanley Cup final and the NBA finals like 100 chips, and you said you could lay these chips down, and we are telling you beforehand, before you make your bet, that one of these two series is going to a game seven, I would probably have laid 95 chips down on Edmonton and Florida. That's probably what I would have done. And instead, Joe, here we are. Edmonton and Florida already done. Florida's won the championship, and they're parading around South Florida doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And we're having a game seven between Oklahoma City and Indiana. Frankly, I'm stunned by it. I'm stunned it's played out this way. And again, at this point, like, far be it from me to doubt the Indiana Pacers. What a performance by them last night. I mean, the final score ends up being 108-91. It was more of a blowout than that if you watched it last night. They just blew the doors off of Oklahoma City, and here we are. And look, you know, Oklahoma City's going to be a big favorite. They were talking about it on Sportsmanlike, Joe. I think Oklahoma City is an 8.5-point favorite in Game 7. I still probably like them at home to eventually end up winning this thing. But, you know, I was telling my brother yesterday, who was a big Thunder fan, before the game, like, you don't really want to mess around with Game 7. Anything can happen in a Game 7, and I am very, very intrigued to see how this goes coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, no, listen, I'll go back 9 years. I mean, the Golden State Warriors were, you know, they were a much better team than the Cleveland Cavaliers. They were up 3-1. You know, the stuff happened with Draymond, the suspension. And still, when it was – so then, you know, you lose without Draymond, and then you go lose on the road, and it's like, okay, but obviously they're going to take care of business in Game 7 at home, you know? I mean, it just – like, they're just way better. They had set the record, I believe, for, you know, regular season wins that year, all that stuff. But Game 7 is Game 7. And, you know, Steph Curry couldn't buy a bucket in Game 7. And, you know, we know what happened. LeBron with the block and all that stuff. That was a pretty stunning result. I would compare this to that if Indiana were to pull this off. And I know Indiana doesn't have LeBron James, but, like, there was a pretty big disparity between those two teams. And I would think that if you went back and look at the betting lines on those games, it'd be kind of similar, you know? And so I'm with you. If I had to bet, I'd probably still go with OKC, but, you know, this is the first time Indiana has really run them out of a building too.
Yeah.
You know, And I, what does that mean for the next game? I mean, ultimately, everything, the slate is cleared, and you're way happier to be at home if you're Oklahoma City. But tip of the cap to Indiana, because I'm with you. I never would have guessed this would have been the better series.
No, not at all. And, you know, Halliburton went from not looking like he was really able to move in game five to, I mean, look, he didn't set the world on fire last night, but he had 14 points. He was 5 of 12 from the field, made some big passes in the game. It's still pretty clear that he's not, you know, 100% out there, but he looked way better in game six than he did in game five. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, and now you get the you get 2 days here,
right,
to rest that thing and be ready for Sunday. So yeah, I mean, it was good to see that he was able to do what he did. You would think he'd be pretty, you know, maybe not 100%, but close to, you know, high level of effectiveness, which of course Indiana's going to need. And again, another game where, you know, obviously Siakam is just, you know, he's such a good player, but again, TJ McConnell just,
yeah,
going out and just doing, you know, just doing everything for them off the bench. And just, you know, look, I mean, Miles Turner did nothing last night, and it didn't matter because they had everything going and they got in transition. And Oklahoma City, for the first time, you know, just looked, you know, I mean, they just got run. They got overwhelmed. You know, just, it's so surprising to see that from that team.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on game six of the NBA Finals last night and a game seven coming up this weekend. Your reaction to that, plus some NHL news and notes to get through that could affect the Nashville Predators. We'll get into all that coming up next as well. We've got an interesting discussion that Rex Road is going to throw out there later this hour as well, related to the sports fan. And as I said, Stilly coming up at 7 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
18-point deficit, OKC. 45 seconds to go. Pass stolen by Halliburton. How about Tyrese Halliburton? No look. And Siakam with the jam. Halliburton delivering in game six. 20-point lead, Indiana.
Another turnover. Two more points off the turnovers.
Indiana gets it done last night and will force a game seven coming up on Sunday in the NBA Finals. And, Joe, you mentioned the Cleveland Golden State series in game seven from 2016. This is the first game seven in the NBA Finals since then, which is, I guess, kind of hard to believe.
What?
Yeah. That's what they were talking about on ESPN this morning.
That's wild. I did not know that. That is really wild. Wow. That's not a very good fixed league, boy. If you're going to be a league that fixes everything, like some people think, man, you'd think you'd be able to come up with a game seven every once in a while. Speaking of that, I got a back and forth on the text line, texter saying, calm down, Joe. Pacers don't have LeBron and Kyrie putting up 40 each. Not a good comparison. But my point is they were significant underdogs, even with those two. Again, Golden State was clearly the favorite to win all that year. They were the best team in regular season history, et cetera, et cetera. The comparison is that going into game seven, certainly there were people saying what we're saying now. Well, you don't want to get to game seven. But the conventional wisdom was that the Warriors would handle that game seven. I'm not saying they were 8.5-point favorites. I don't know what it was. I'm sure we could figure it out. But, you know, the conventional wisdom was, okay, now they'll right the ship. They do what they did in building a 3-1 series lead, and they'll win game seven at home. Steph and Clay were tight in that game. Draymond had like 33. Okay, so there you go. So Warriors are minus 4.5. So, yeah, it's not the same point spread difference between the team, perceived team quality. Like, again, that's true. The Pacers don't have, LeBron and Kyrie. But the Warriors were the clear favorite to win it. And the Warriors at home, you thought they'd figure it out. They didn't. It would end up being an amazing game. I hope we get a similar level of game.
Yeah, I hope we do too. I mean, look, that game was unbelievable. So that's a high bar to live up to. But I am hoping that game seven on Sunday is a classic. Look, regardless of how you feel about the matchup of Oklahoma City and Indiana, a game seven, whether it's baseball, hockey, basketball, regardless of the opponents for a championship, I'll be there. Like you can find me there. I don't care if it's the Colorado Rockies taking on whoever in the World Series, which what an example that is. That's the first team that just came to my mind given how bad the Colorado Rockies are right now. But I don't care who it is. in baseball, basketball, hockey. Give me a game seven for a championship, and I'll be watching. So I am looking forward to Sunday night. And I think Oklahoma City's going to win, but I'm looking forward to what I think is going to be a good game coming up on Sunday night. Joe, some news to get to in the NHL. So Mason Marchment was traded yesterday from the Dallas Stars to the Seattle Kraken for a 2025 fourth-round pick and a third-rounder in 2026. Now, Mason Marchment has been a good player for the Stars. Now, the Stars made another move yesterday. They re-signed Matt Duchene to a four-year contract. So they got Duchene in on a four-year contract. I believe the number's at $4.5 million
I believe that's correct.
Per year. So Duchene is back in Dallas. Dallas is right up against it with the cap. And they've got to figure out, you know, are they going to try to bring back Mikhail Granlund? Are they going to end up trading Jason Robertson, which has been one of their best players, which there's a lot of discussion about that right now. So there's a lot going on in Dallas that they've had to try to kind of figure out there. You know, Marchment is 30 years old. He scored 22 goals last season, had 25 assists in 62 games. So he's been a good player that's been in there. You know, anywhere, basically, let's just call it their top nine. And he's kind of fluctuated around there. But he's been a really good player for the Stars. And I had some Predators buddies that really love the Predators kind of texting me yesterday in the immediate aftermath of the Marchment trade. It was like, so you're telling me the Kraken just got Mason Marchment from the Stars for a fourth-round pick this year and a third-rounder next year? And the Predators got Eric Halla yesterday was basically what they were talking to me about. I understand the sentiment. I would also remind people of a couple things. I do think it's a little bit harder to make trades in the division. You know, I think the Stars are probably more willing to make a trade with the Seattle Kraken than they would be the Predators, unless the Predators just, like, you know, offer a crazy price for something, and then you just got to do it at that point. I have no idea if Barry Trotz and the Predators checked in on Mason Marchment, but I do understand some of the immediate reaction from my friends yesterday who are big Predators fans that were like, wait a minute, we just got Eric Halla yesterday and 24 hours later Mason Marchment goes to the Kraken? Miss me with that.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, you can't really have worse timing than that in terms of, oh, let's compare this deal now to this deal you just made. What? I think it's a very good point you make about in division, although, you know, the Preds have made some, you know, they've made some deals with Chicago, with Colorado. But yeah, it's a tough comparison. You'd much rather they give you a similar price and a much better outcome, to get Marchmont than to get Hall of Famer, which apparently, by the way, I heard this yesterday. Apparently this is it's like a nickname that makes fun of him. Did you know this?
No, I swear. Yeah. I've heard people calling that.
No. Yes. But I think it was like, it was teammates who came, this is what I was told, teammates who came up with it because, like, they were sort of like making fun of him.
Okay. All right. Well, so, I don't know if he wants that nickname.
Maybe that's why he's got such sandpaper when he's coming at people.
Maybe,
you know?
Maybe so.
Anyway, yeah, that's a tough comparison. You know, it's just like, even if that's maybe like a few days later, you don't immediately think of him. I mean, you would have still, but it's like, wow, the very next day, then this happens for that.
Right.
And Eric Halla. Like, Eric Halla looks even worse by comparison.
Right. And again, you know, Mason Marchment is not, you know, some NHL all-star or anything like that, but he's a good player, and he's 30 years old, and, you know, he goes a day later. And I saw a point, I think it may have been Frank Saravalli who made this point. I have to go back and look. But, you know, another thing to keep in mind there is Seattle ends up acquiring Marchment, and they are also a team that does not have the state income tax to deal with. So kind of a solid done there by the Stars, where Marchment probably took a team friendly deal to stay in Dallas, and they didn't send him somewhere where that team friendly deal just kind of royally screws him the other way. So, I mean, if that was their approach, there's really only a limited number of spots he could have gone to, Nashville being one of them. So keep that in mind on that front. Joe, a couple other news and notes to get to. Connor McDavid addressed the media yesterday and was asked, I don't know, probably in every way possible about his contract and contract extension. And, you know, as you would expect, and as is basically his response to everything, he didn't say a whole lot. You know, he did talk about how if he feels like that's a place where, I think the phrase he used was win over and over again, that he would have no problem signing there. But he did throw in, like, in the middle of this answer, the having said that, and started talking about doing what's best for his family and all this stuff, and boy, does that have people going up in Canada. I mean, the Leafs fans are now 100% convinced that he's joining Toronto after next year. So I say all that to say my stance on McDavid still stands. If I were him, there's no way in the world I would sign an extension this offseason. I would wait and see how things play out next year and then have every possible option on the table for you. I have no idea if he's going to do that or not. But I do think yesterday, Joe, we got a glimpse of kind of the circus of what it's going to be like the longer he goes unsigned.
Like, there's no question he left the door open. So
yes.
So it's going to be the dominant story. And, yeah, I will say, if you're an Oilers fan and, it, you know, and it, and you're like, you hear, you know, like, again, the priority is winning. It's like, listen, like, you just got to the Stanley Cup final the last 2 years.
Right.
Like, is that – obviously, he didn't win it, which is heartbreaking, but, like, is that not enough for you to see that, like, there's a commitment and that actually there's competence to get you close? Like, what more do you want, right?
Right. I think you would make that argument.
As an Oilers fan, that's what I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, like, I think it's easy if you're an Oilers fan to make that argument.
You get upset.
There we go. I think we lost Joe. I think it's easy to make that argument, but I would also say,
I was just waiting for it.
If you're an Oilers fan, you have to look at it and say they're the oldest team in the league by the numbers this year. What's going to happen with the goalie? They've got the Evan Bouchard contract to figure out, which is going to be an astronomical number. And he talked about that yesterday, about how that's a deal that needs to get done. But that also makes it more difficult when you do that deal. And I know the cap's going up, but it makes it more difficult when you do that deal and you've already got Draisaitl that you're paying a ton of money to, and you've got Darnell Nurse that's making $9 million a year and is not worth that contract. There's a whole lot that kind of goes into it of, I think the way he phrased it was interesting in terms of, if I feel like this is a place where I can win over and over again. So I think it's just something to really keep an eye on here as the offseason goes. And he also said, you know, everybody's going to be paying attention to that July 1st date and wanting some news to happen then, and basically said like five times that he's in no rush to do anything. So I got a feeling this could be a saga that plays out for a while, and it's going to be a heavy, heavy talking point in the NHL. Joe, one more thing to get to on the NHL front before we move on. You know, the Florida Panthers, I don't know that I would say it rivals like the 2018 Washington Capitals, because I don't know that a Stanley Cup celebration ever will, but they're kind of making their way around South Florida,
no.
And somehow they ended up in the nightclubs in Miami last night. And, you know, I mean, the beer's flowing, the drinks are flowing, all those things. And somehow Sam Bennett ends up on the microphone and he goes like full Leonardo DiCaprio last night and says that he, quote, ain't effing leaving South Florida. So not that that's a huge surprise anyway, but I mean, I think that kind of tells you that there's probably a contract that's pretty close to being done. And if you're a Predators fan wanting Sam Bennett to come in and help rescue the day in free agency, I would not anticipate that this offseason.
Yeah, there's a lot of fan bases. I've seen a lot of Leafs fans who are like, Sam, come on. I'm like, yeah, it's not going to happen, guys. I'm sorry. But that's great. I have not seen the video. That's cool that he did a DiCaprio.
He did.
Also with McDavid real quick. Hey, man, you know what? You know how this gets solved? By you taking a team-friendly deal. Just saying.
that is the one thing with his negotiation, because I saw some Oilers fans yesterday being like, well, he doesn't want to say too much because – it's a negotiating tactic. Like, he's trying to get all the money he can. I'm like, guys, I don't think in this case that the money is going to be an issue. I think Connor McDavid could walk in the door on July 1st to the Oilers front office and say, hey, this is what I want. And they would say, okay, here you go. I don't think the negotiating part of this is what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, he wants the team that which I get. But again, I guess then the question gets to, can they make it all work?
Right.
And do everything he wants them to do?
It's a very good question. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. A very fascinating discussion regarding you, the sports fan, that Joe Rexroad wants to get into coming up next. We'll do that. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. We'll have Jared Stillman with us at 7 o'clock, get his thoughts on a variety of different topics. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Joe, we have heard from several fans over the years about the rising, in some cases, exorbitant costs or cost of being a fan. Whether it's here in Nashville, whether it's in general, whether it's the streaming services, we've talked about kind of different varieties of this. But there's a piece at The Athletic that has come out this week that June Lee has put together, kind of going into detail and describing the cost to be a sports fan now. And that is something you wanted to drill down on today. So set up for our listeners kind of the idea of what June Lee was going for here at The Athletic, and the genesis behind this article, and what has been uncovered here about how expensive it is to be a sports fan in 2025.
Yeah, actually, it's a guest essay at the New York Times. So this was, but you know, it's close enough. It's a really, really interesting piece, and it's actually kind of infuriating to read when you really, he breaks down just the costs. And kind of, again, when you look at everything all together, I think that the key line here is from June Lee, quote, fandom isn't being nurtured anymore. It's being mined, end quote. You know, and again, it's like the point he makes, he's a Boston guy. He's a big Red Sox fan. And so he goes back to 2013 and actually it's, you know, it's funny because I read the lead to this and he's talking about David Ortiz and a game tying grand slam in the 2013 ALCS and how it was at right after the Boston Marathon bombing and this is our city and all this stuff. And so the team on the other side of that, by the way, was the Detroit Tigers. It was the weekend after my dad had suddenly passed away, so it was like a completely different experience for me as a fan. But obviously you think about, Boston fans and what that meant for the city. So now we're 12 years later. And again, it's not like there aren't still huge Red Sox fans, but even following the team has changed. So he tracked being a Boston fan and what it would take, he threw in, like tickets, but also again, streaming. I think a lot of this for people is like, where do I even find this game or that game? So he went back a little bit before 2013, but he came up with 1321 tickets, TV access, merchandise, 20 years ago. Today, $4,785, which is a 262% jump, while wages in the same stretch have risen 87%. Point being, I mean, just look around. I mean, the NFL, if they could, they'd have a national game on every day of the week, right, with a different streaming service. And it's just, at some point, are you nurturing fans? Are you creating more fans? Or are you simply succumbing to greed and trying to scrape every last dollar out of everybody to make it harder to be a fan to at some point hurt your product and have less fans, and it kind of gets into the whole, this is goes beyond sports of like, someone in a company to get that stock price up and get the hell out and get your money and leave the mess for other people to deal with. Right. It's just like,
I watched a movie about that last night.
That's right. You did a great movie. So here's another line, quote, for decades, our national sports leagues, NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, operated more like civic institutions. These organizations may have always chased the mighty dollar, but they also wanted their sports to last. And as such, they cared about strengthening such powerful intangibles as local pride, generational fandom, and public ritual. Tradition was good business. Community built loyalty. Loyalty built value. Then came the streaming wars, end quote. So, you know, putting a lot of this on the 2010s and cutting the cord and just all the different people vying for dollars. It really has created quite a mess of being a sports fan.
Yeah, it's pretty wild how different it is now than it used to be. And it's from a variety of fronts. Like, the streaming service is a big part of it. Like, you know, I heard Jared talking about this yesterday. And the NFL has their TV deals coming up, I believe, in 2029 is when it expires. So there's still some time there. But it's not that far away. And when 2029 and 2030, I believe, is when Monday Night Football comes up, when that comes around, I mean, NFL is already on, let's see here, CBS, Fox, ESPN, Amazon Prime. They had Netflix games last year. Like, it's already all over the place in terms of where you can find NFL games. And you're going to continue to see these streaming services in the NFL especially try to get in and get their fair share of kind of the slice of these NFL products. So if you're a fan out there, it's like, man, if I want to watch the NFL, well, I've got to find a platform that's got, you know, all of ESPN, Fox, and CBS. So, like, for me, for instance, that's YouTube TV. Or I got to go buy NFL Sunday ticket. And then if I want to watch Thursday Night Football, I've got to have Amazon Prime. And then if I want to watch the game on Christmas, I've got to have Netflix. Like, there's all these things that go into it. And maybe some people have all those things anyway, so it's not a huge deal for them. But the ability to just go find the game now is a crazy thing. And I heard some people talking about this. Like, wouldn't it be nice to have, like, all these different channels in one location to just be able to go find them? And it's like, yeah, it's called cable. We used to have that, like, 20 years ago. It's where everybody had cable, and we weren't all cord cutters. So you've got that aspect of it. You've got, you know, it was funny. I saw the random video that the Carolina Hurricanes – put up yesterday, Joe, and I guess yesterday was the 19th anniversary of when they won the cup against Edmonton. So the video they put out there was just like Rod Brind'Amour lifting the Stanley Cup, and you looked around, and there was no smartphone at the time, so everybody was just like kind of in the moment watching it happen. People were going crazy. There's that part of it that's changed, and that, you know, we've heard from Predators fans. We've heard from a lot of Titans fans, just people in general, about like the average fan being priced out. And one of the things we've heard about Titans fans about this new stadium, right, is like how many average fans are going to be priced out? How corporate is this going to become? It's a really, really – when you really dig down deep into it and you factor in the cost for all these different things, it is a really difficult time to be a sports fan if you want to be like a season ticket holder to all your teams and be able to watch all your teams and all your leagues play games. It's a really difficult thing to do right now with how just exorbitantly expensive everything has gotten.
Right. And so, like Ethan from Lawrenceburg says, I've lost interest in going to games because of the cost and traffic. Also, the game's better on TV. That's part of this, you know. And that's been something that obviously we've talked about that a lot, like over as the viewing experience has gotten better with HD and all this stuff and the cost has gone up. A lot of people are making that choice. But again, now you also have the difficulty of, okay, what service do I need? How much is that? I got to have this one now. I got to have this one now, you know, and things like that. And of course, you can look at something we talk about a lot, which is just college sports alone, right? What they've done in the name of greed. You know, with the ridiculous realignment and some of the, you know, again, to take common sense out of sports, you know, to make it so that the team that you grew up hating, your team doesn't even play them anymore because of some cockamamie, league realignment. That's another thing that it's kind of adjacent to this in terms of just making it harder to be a fan.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on this. What do you make of how expensive it is in today's world to be a sports fan, and how has that affected the way that you either view or go to some of these sporting events? We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game. Brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We'll be joined by Jared Stillman coming up at 7 o'clock. Take your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. So what do you make of the high cost of being a sports fan in today's world? And what could be done about that moving forward? So, Joe, I guess as we see this, we see, you know, franchise valuations continue to go up. We talked about Charles Robinson, or talked with Charles Robinson about that yesterday, the Lakers sale of approximately $10 billion and what that could mean for NFL teams as we move forward here. The leagues are continuing to make more and more money. The NFL making an unbelievable amount of money. NBA's making a lot of money. We've talked about the salary cap in the NHL. It's going way up over the next few years, which means they're making money. So there's a lot that goes into this here. Is this ever going to, I guess, level off in terms of how this is affecting the sports fan? Or are we just going to see, Joe, the price and the commitment and everything involved, the effort level, continue to go up and up and up and up as it seems like it has over especially the last 5-10 years when it comes to the sports fan and the viewing experience?
Yeah, great question. And you know, I appreciate that June Lee here in this piece does offer solutions. There's been so much talk around college athletics from the leaders of college athletics about congressional involvement, right? They've desperately wanted, you know, some form of antitrust exemption to, you know, to essentially stop the bleeding in the courtroom. And again, we just saw last week, it's like there's some bipartisan agreement on, like, you know, college sports, restricting earnings. But when it comes down to it, you know, the two parties are not at all aligned on some of these ideas. So I just don't see anything happening. But, you know, congressional and courtroom influence can matter a lot in stuff like this. Look, in 1984, a Supreme Court case is why, you know, television rights exploded for college football, because previously that had been limited. You know, so one thing that he brings up is, one, he says the state and federal legislators have bestowed these leagues with an extraordinary array of legal privileges, from a 1961 antitrust exemption, allowing them to bundle the television rights of all their teams, to the taxpayer subsidies, to limited oversights for financial transparency. So, you know, if they want to keep these privileges, they need to act more like institutions that serve the public. So, you know, you can amend that. You can ban blackouts. You can cap what streaming services can charge fans, and a requirement that media companies offer affordable bundles. You know, local games, you can force, this is a quote, can force teams buying for taxpayer dollars to help pay for their gleaming new stadiums to offer affordable local streams, guaranteed public simulcasts, and similarly, no blackouts. He cites the Dallas Stars of the NHL. They stream their games, regional games, for free. There's ads, but there you go. There's an example of a team that does it, that kind of sees the big picture, and has done it. You know, so like there are, I mean, this is probably something that, like, you're going to have to have some political influence to make some of this, to slow some of this down. He points out that said Ted Cruz last week led a hearing, and he asked the question, why does it seem to be getting harder and harder and more expensive just to watch a game? But then no legislation was introduced, but and the NFL people didn't even show up to this thing. So again, if public money is supporting these institutions, and we know there's a lot of public money, we certainly look at the stadium that's being built in Nashville, then, you know, then there should be some conditions on access for fans to keep this from going in that direction.
Let's head to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ben from Cumberland City says, I'm a Colts fan, 16 years in Nashville. First 10, went to Nissan for Titans Colts, never a problem, great experience. In the last 6, it's a hassle. Multiple events, more traffic, parking. It's been a lot worse. Used to be easy, and now it's dreadful. Skyler, talking about YouTube TV, says, is YouTube TV the best way to watch all NFL and college football? I can't afford having what it seems like 6 streaming services to watch football. Also, I have not been able to watch Preds games in a long time. unless it's been on TNT. A couple different things there. Number one, I think from Ben's point, Joe, the traffic part of it, and we've talked about that and how much more difficult it is now with everything going on in Nashville to get down to a game than probably it used to be. There's one part of it, and that's kind of a separate part. The YouTube TV, like YouTube TV for me, is basically how I consume football. I think it's great for college football especially because, I mean, college football is – it's got basically everything you need for the college football part of it. And it's good for NFL. Like, you get your, you know, your regional game. Like, I watch the Titans on YouTube TV. And then whatever they've got on kind of the afternoon slate there, you can watch. And obviously ESPN you watch as well. But then you still – like, you're looking around Thursday Night Football and it's like, okay, so – do I really want to get Prime Video just so I can watch Thursday Night Football? And then this past year, you had the Netflix games, and it's like, all right, do I really want to get Netflix so I can go watch, you know, the Chiefs play on Christmas Day? I mean, there's a lot that goes into it from the NFL part of it. And the NFL part of it specifically, Joe, is what I'm not sure is going away anytime soon. I think you're probably going to add to the streaming part of this as it goes forward here. You know, Skyler's point on the Preds part of it is interesting. You bring up the Stars. And they're not the only team that does kind of their own thing. I'm interested in the NHL specifically, if that's more the way that things are kind of headed here.
Yeah. Yeah, and look, that's the thing. Like, the NFL is, I mean, when it comes down to it, it yeah, look, because as someone pointed out, like, it's up to the consumers to also to tell them, like, this is too much. And that's not happening in the NFL, right? So I think you do already, and you will more see differences in how leagues handle it. Joey from Bellevue tells us about Nashville SC, the low cost of tickets, the great deal. You get free MLS package on Apple TV if you're a season ticket holder, like stuff like that's great. That's also MLS needs to do things like that.
Right. Yeah, and the NFL doesn't, right? I mean, the NFL knows that, and that's why it's part of why you're in the predicament that you're in is – I mean, the NFL knows the demand for its product. And, I mean, if you're Roger Goodell, it is interesting. Like, if you're Roger Goodell and you're these owners in the NFL, Joe, it's like, well, we know how much our product is worth. We know how much all these TV companies and streaming companies are willing to pay for it. So how do you balance the amount of money that you know you're going to make? And it is like Roger Goodell's job, basically, to make this league as much money as he possibly can while also – considering, all right, how much harm are we doing to, like, the casual fan? How much does that part of it ever actually come up in the discussion is something I would love to know. Probably not much.
Yeah. Better. It needs to be more, you know. Texter points out, no blackouts. Like, that's a big thing here to me, you know. Like, that's the no blackouts thing, I think, is a big deal. I mean, baseball has really screwed it up. I got a texter who says, I haven't watched the Preds or the Braves in forever, you know. And you hear that so often. Like, well, I guess it's just the way it works out. I just basically don't watch this team anymore. That happens a lot in baseball.
Yep.
And it's just really a problem.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Jared Stillman will join us coming up next. We got a lot of things to get into with Jared. We will do that. Jeff Fisher coming up at 7:30, TD at 8. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 106.3 The Game.